I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And this is Video Games Hot Dog. Hey, Kevin, what have you been playing?
Lately...
Have you been playing WoW?
You've been playing WoW?
No, yeah. I haven't been playing WoW, actually.
Yeah, you're still on the wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't do well with open-ended games. You know, I kind of am having a hard time balancing my life and them. Because my life is so heavy and the open-ended games are so lightweight and carefree and fun.
You took that shit seriously, though. You were like, I got to be on time for this raid or my guild isn't going to give me my special golden pants.
You had a spare keyboard just for punching.
Yeah.
He did, actually.
I'd get angry at the PvP.
He got so mad playing PvP in World of Warcraft that he would punch keys off of his keyboard and then fish the keys off the spare keyboard, which was in the closet, to put back on his keyboard.
I only really ever get angry at computers in my life, I think. It's, you know, keyboards in particular.
I saw you flipping your shit at a fish once.
I don't think that's true.
We went to Walmart and we were hanging out in where they keep the fish, and this fish, you just flipped your shit. Your shit was completely upside down on account of it having been flipped. What is wrong with you? And he's like, the fish was looking at me funny. He's like that. I suddenly switched, reach
into the tank and start punching a fish.
Yeah. It's a tiny fish, too.
I have no memory.
There wasn't much left of it.
I must have blocked it out.
So, no, you haven't been playing WoW.
No, I haven't been playing WoW. I have mostly been playing casual iPhone games lately because I've been working on other stuff so much.
But I heard you've been playing some Minecraft.
I had put Minecraft away because it was another one of those open-ended games. It was a bad idea for me to play. And actually, Riff started this awesome project with Minecraft based on that whole Jason Rohrer thing.
Chain world.
Yeah. Thing.
You're trying to be the Martin Luther to Jason Rohrer's Pope asshole.
That's right. I nailed my text file to the Minecraft door.
But I don't think anybody should be touching the Pope's asshole. I think that's, well, okay. Maybe some bishops.
That's the holiest of holies.
Yeah. Holiest of holes.
So Riff started a chain world, and I guess the idea of this is that you play Minecraft in a particular world until you die.
If you die, you're no longer allowed to play Minecraft.
Yes.
And so you should probably get your affairs in order before you start playing Minecraft.
Right.
Make sure that your next of kin knows.
Yes.
The passwords to your computer.
Yeah.
And to burn all your porn.
My brother gets my diamond pickaxe.
In the game, if you start playing a character and then if you die, you are done playing and you pass the world on to somebody else.
Well, although Riff's rule is if you die, you then go and pretend to be the passage of time and ruin all of your buildings.
Blow some holes and shit.
You gotta build them pre-ruined. How do you blow holes
in things?
You
could do that too.
With a pickaxe.
Dynamite. Pickaxe, yeah.
You...
I guess you could dynamite.
Yeah.
That'd be a little extreme.
You can install that Minecraft Left 4 Dead mod that when you get killed as a player, you respawn as a creeper.
Ooh,
and go mess with the other players.
That'd be pretty sweet.
That, for a little while.
Yeah, being able to like be an intelligent creeper would make so many like club style players happy.
Yeah.
You know, people who like to grief others.
Like people who like have players with an extra slice of bread in the middle of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that what defines a club sandwich?
I don't know. I think I was never cool enough to be in one, so I don't know what a club sandwich actually is.
Huh.
I know it has a toothpick.
Toothpicks.
I know this from...
They cut them in quarters.
Yeah.
Oh, from listening to that comedian, the dead guy who... See, he can't play Minecraft anymore.
Dead comedian?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Lenny Bruce. And oh. His famous routine about club sandwiches.
I guess there are lots of dead comedians. Yeah. I was thinking about... I thought you meant like a comedian who was dead but still comedianing.
But still playing Minecraft. Yeah. Just breaking the rules.
Just through Ouija
breaking
boards.
The rules.
You go to a comedy seance.
Yeah.
So you're terrified.
I am terrified. I've played for maybe half an hour at this point, and like my heart is kind of pounding the whole time. Even when it's like daylight and there's like no like I found an area. Well, I shouldn't talk about this because, you know, I guess I haven't built anything. So
did
okay
you take a bunch of adrenaline pills before
I
you
did
started
not.
Playing?
I did not. I found an area where I could see some sand just floating above some lava. And I was like, if I had come at this from the other side, I would be dead now. I would have fallen into the lava and died. And I was like, wow, this game is terrifying. Because I want to have time to like build some cool things and like leave my mark on the world. And if I die like 15 minutes into it, I'm going to be really sad.
You can tell people to look upon your works, ye mighty, and despair.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
You should just build, I think what I would do if I had a dog in that race is I would just build some giant feet in the desert.
Just feet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like there used to be a Colossus there. Oh, there yeah, actually used to be. Cool. It was just like a Death Star with feet.
Yeah, you have to just imagine the Death Star, though.
Yeah. But it got blown up by a larger Death Star that mistook it for a planet.
Yeah, I've got some ideas about things I want to do, and I will be sad if I don't get to do at least a couple of them before.
But I think it'd be cooler if you didn't get to finish them. If what the next guy in the chain saw was your failure.
But they won't know. I don't know if they'll know what. Is it cooler to see somebody's failure when you have an idea what they were striving for? Or is it cooler to see somebody's failure when you're like, why is there a big hole in the ground?
I think I would just leave as confusing a mess as possible.
You'd just like tunnel every other block out and leave some sort of like, that's not confusing. Just a really, that's pretty ordered mess.
The thing that's really hard to walk through.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be my goal, is just to make my areas as hard as possible to traverse. Hide as many darkened corners for stuff to spawn. Yeah. Just make it into a death trap. Just, this is my contribution. Is ruining everybody else's fun.
So you were kind of annoyed at the whole Jason Rohrer thing.
I wasn't annoyed. I mean, like, I was annoyed that the idea. It was like, I don't know the entire story, but I feel like it was some kind of contest where you were supposed to come up with a game, and he was like, "Oh, here's like, my game, Minecraft
about religion."
Yeah, a game with religion is the central theme.
Okay.
And his game idea was, "Oh, how about a like we put hardcore mode from Diablo 2 into Minecraft, like." Whatever.
And, like, I think the idea is pretty cool, but I guess you were kind of annoyed at, like, how much press it got as an idea. And yeah. Also the fact that his game was actually just, like, a single sentence about somebody else's game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you know, he's a cool guy. He ruminates on mortality and doesn't afraid of anything.
Right.
I hear his baby poops in a bush.
Yeah, well, he won't mow his bushes, so he's got to fertilize them somehow.
Well, I mean, why would you, like, I can't mow them. They're full of baby shit.
Exactly.
That's what he says to the city planner. Because it's a city planner that comes to your house when you won't mow your bushes. How do you even mow a bush?
With a mower?
Oh, man, remember that hilarious JPEG that got passed around with the guy mowing a woman's pubic region?
The little stick figure tattoo or whatever.
Tiny man with a lawnmower. Yeah. No, it was just a photoshopped in tiny man.
Oh,
with
was
a Photoshop?
I've seen one that was a tattoo. Yeah.
Oh, okay, fine. Maybe somebody got a tattoo based on the hilarious JPEG.
She would shave a little bit of her pubic hair to have it look right every time.
Like, have you seen my full back lolcats tattoo?
No. No, I haven't.
It's like Steve-O, only it's me dressed as a cat. I was wearing that makeup from the fifth member of Kiss.
Was it also tattooed on your back while you were in a Jeep riding across the desert?
Yeah. Only Harvey Keitel was driving the Jeep instead of that Henry Rollins, the guy whose name I couldn't remember. Oh, also Mitch Hedberg is that guy's name I couldn't remember from earlier.
Oh, the dead comedian.
Yeah, the dead comedian.
I see.
Who talked about club sandwiches.
Huh.
So I was trying to play some goddamn Lego 3D 3S Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think there needs to be another 3 in there.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it the third? Isn't it episode 3?
Episode 3, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not episode 3, it's the third Lego Star Wars, but it's not based on Star Wars Episode 3.
So Lego Star Wars 1 was Episode 1, 2, 3.
The Clone
Lego
Wars
Star
is,
Wars 2.
Is kind of Episode 3.
Yeah, it's post-Episode 3, yeah.
Is it? I thought it was between 2 and 3. All that stuff takes place between Episodes 2 and 3.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
I was a step ahead.
Because at the end of Episode 2, begun these Clone Wars have, and at the beginning of Episode 3, remember these Clone Wars I do. I mean, those Clone Wars. Remember those Clone Wars
The Clone Wars,
I do.
Were already over by Episode 3?
I don't think so.
I was not paying any attention to those movies, I think, because they were so bad.
There was a beardman, and there was a robot with several lightsabers.
Right.
I remember those things.
They're like rolling
I remember
guy.
The dude with the really huge head.
Is that Grievous? General Grievous?
General Grievous was a lung inside a robot house.
I think so.
With several lightsabers.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been trying to play that, but it's been locking up and shit. Yeah. So I got fed up.
Locking up?
Yeah. The 3DS has some freezing problems, apparently.
The black screen of death.
On that game, as far as I know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Not on your Ghost...
I've had no problems with
Mary-Kate and Ashley's Ghost House Adventure.
Mary-Kate and Ashley's
ghost
recon
pizza.
Hunting adventure. That would be pretty sweet, actually. Turn-based Mary-Kate and Ashley fighting terrorists.
It would have to be the like 9 or 10 year old Mary-Kate and Ashley back when they were cool, before they got all strung out.
But aren't they cool again?
I don't think so.
What, like in an ironic way?
Like in an Irving Welsh kind of way. They've now written a sweet fictionalized memoir of their time in the anorexia ghetto.
No, when the, didn't they write the memoir about when they were recruited by the CIA and traveling around and killing people?
Oh, did that actually
happen? I think that was Julia Child.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe it was Amy Adams or Rachel McAdams or whoever.
Yeah, I couldn't keep them straight for a little while, but I know who they are now.
So, yeah, well, how's that Ghost Rebound?
Pretty good.
I played the game where you play basketball with the ghost of Mitch Hedberg.
Wow, that sounds like a good idea, too. It's a good thing we have a game company.
We're making that shit. Oh, and that game where you are on a snowboard, and in order to make it realistic, the extra crazy shit that you do on the snowboard has to be explained somehow in the game's fiction, which you know takes place in the real world. So instead of just like being able to jump super high, we explain this by you actually vomit blood in order to accelerate yourself in a given direction while you're on the snowboard, and in order to where some games have a boost meter. This game will have an Ensure meter, and you have to keep collecting and drinking cans of Ensure to ensure that you have enough blood to supply the necessary thrust to do a sweet snowboard trick.
Is Ensure just converted directly to blood in the body?
It is, yeah. That's how it works in real life.
It's mostly a drink for hemophiliacs, then.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. And, like, people who, like... So you can... There's this racket, right, where you donate blood... And at a place that pays you for blood at a rate that is slightly higher than the rate at which Ensure restores your blood per dollar, right? So you got to go to Costco,
yeah,
and you got to get the Ensure that's about to expire.
Okay.
And so you get it real cheap.
Wait, do you get type AB Ensure or type O positive Ensure?
You get type O negative Ensure, which is hard to find since that guy died.
But
so they can't make any
more
of it.
He's busy playing basketball with Mitch Hedberg,
yeah,
right?
But he's not allowed to play Minecraft anymore.
I see.
How'd that guy die? Did he die of sadness?
Mitch Hedberg?
I think he died of
type O negative.
He died of excessive blood vomiting.
I'm so confused.
Skeet shooting. He was in a biathlon. You know where you snowboard and shoot skeet at the same time.
So Riff, what other games have you been playing?
Ghost.
Yeah, I
so that's Ghost Recon for the 3DS.
Yes.
You both of you guys got 3DSs.
Yes.
And why don't you give like a general overview of like how you think the system is?
I got a 3DS because I had some gift card money from Best Buy to burn, and I didn't know what I wanted to buy, and so I was like, I'll just get a 3DS. I wasn't going to buy it until like the two games that I actually care about that are announced came out, which is the Ocarina of Time remake and the new Paper Mario game.
When they remake it, are they going to like change things? Or is
I think they've made a lot of improvements. Is my understanding?
Huh? Like changing the story at all, or just like better interface?
Probably not. Just interface stuff.
Okay.
The specific issue I've heard about is that people were really annoyed with having to swap boots back and forth in the water temple, and they've done something to streamline that.
The stream temple.
Yeah.
I know. I hate having to change shoes every time I go to the Whataburger. Because it's one of those Japanese Whataburgers, and so you have to put on your tatami socks.
I don't know what you want with a burger made out of water.
Man. Yeah, that seems like a terrible idea.
It's frozen.
That's just soup.
It's like a snow cone with beef
soggy
juice
bun.
On a bun. It's not soggy unless it melts. Yep. But it gets soggy in your mouth, but everything gets soggy in your mouth.
Anyway, video games.
What? That's boring.
So yeah, I played another level of Ghost Recon on the 3DS last night and it was the first level at which it gives you control points, like flags you have to capture, and every turn that you have them you get points, and then once you get enough points you can spend them on a super awesome airstrike and just blow the shit out of things.
Huh.
It was pretty cool. Those Syrian dissidents or whatever godforsaken country I'm in didn't know what hit them.
So Ghost Recon is like a turn-based strategy game.
Yep, turn-based strategy of, I don't know, you're some kind of military operatives in Azerbaijan or
so it's set in the real
somewhere.
World.
Yeah, it's set in the real world.
I mean, although
one of the characters, I mean, I think it might be slightly future, but not very future.
I mean, maybe it's just the future tech that the government has from the Roswell crash that we don't know about.
One of the characters has one of those like optical camouflage cloaks.
Okay.
One of those imaginary things that the Predator has.
Well, yeah, or Harry Potter.
No, the government's been working on like invisibility cloaks.
Are you sure you don't are you sure you're not just confused and the government has in fact been reading the delightful stories of J.K. Rowling?
I'm pretty sure.
Well, I'm sure they have, but I don't know if that affects any of the purchases.
What are they going to do when they shut down besides read Harry Potter? Yeah.
I don't have any interest in games that are set in the real world. Will this game change my mind?
Well, no, but you because no you also don't like games that are turn-based tactical.
Well, I do if there's only one dude. If it's one dude and no enemies. So, like, if it's basically, like, sometimes I like to just...
So you like...
I put a chess knight on a Candyland board, and then yeah. I just move him a step at a time, because I like that. I like the fundamental mechanics of a strategy game like that. I just don't like it when there are obstacles placed in my way that I have to think about.
You're just a big fan of Princess Gumdrop, or whatever her name is.
I don't know who that is, Riff.
I don't either.
Is that a character in
Candyland?
There's
some female character in Candyland, and I was going
I know
for
there's
a
the peppermint.
There, but
there's the peppermint forest.
Kind of stymied by the fact that I don't know anything about Candyland.
You need to do your homework,
I
buddy.
I know.
Has anybody been playing any other games besides Candyland?
I have not. No.
I see you playing a little bit of Dungeon Raid on your
iPhone. Yeah, I've been playing a little
bit
of Dungeon Raid on the iPhone. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's
that's a
game.
I don't
know if there's really a lot to say about that.
I played last night at your suggestion, I played that DS game, the reimagining of Lufia 2.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Really?
I could not get into it. They did that thing that Square Enix keeps goddamn doing, where they take a game that had perfectly good looking
sprites.
2D sprites and they made it into ass-tacular, like, 4-polygon 3D models, and it looks like shit.
That sucks.
And I had to turn the voice acting off immediately.
Oh, and, man. I was really looking forward to playing that at some
point. Yeah. I went back and started playing the original Lufia 2.
Yeah.
And that seemed like it was potentially interesting, but it's got old school Dragon Warrior style combat, and I just wasn't in the mood to deal with that.
Because you prefer Kung Fu.
Well, I prefer something more like Zelda.
I see. I thought it was a Zelda-like game.
It's the dungeons are puzzly Zelda-like, and the monsters appear on the map like Zelda.
Yeah.
But when you bump into a monster, it goes to a Final Fantasy combat.
Oh,
well,
wow.
I thought you hated that kind of game.
I
this
do.
This is something that you said you liked when
I
you were
thought I did. I'm confused.
Lufia 1 might have been different.
Huh. Have you gotten hit in the head a lot?
Well,
or
I mean,
a little since
there
then?
Was that fish that I got in that fight with that I don't remember either. So, you know, who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
You losing time, Kevin? Are you
maybe?
Are you just? I'm worried about you.
Yeah, I mean.
So
me
yeah,
too, now
that's what we've been playing. Now it's time for listener mail, but this segment is going to be really short this time because we don't have any listeners. Once we do have listeners. The listeners might be wondering, how do we get a hold of you guys? How do we send you guys some mail? And here's a funny story. I went to sign up for videogameshotdog@gmail.com so that people could send email to that address. But it was already taken. I don't know why. Somebody really excited. Somebody was like, video games, hot dog!
I think rather that they think that video game shot dog.
It did, however, helpfully suggest the email address videogames.videogameshotdog.ho@gmail.com.
Nice.
I did not elect to take that because I felt like that would be cumbersome to say, and also people might think that we were being insensitive towards hoes.
I don't think you can be insensitive towards hoes.
Oh yeah, that's the great thing about them. Doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah, if money's
it
involved,
it never counts as insensitive.
There's no such thing as sensitivity.
Anyway, what you can do is email us at vghotdog@gmail.com. Those of you listening to our podcast by way of the other stuff that we do, you already know how to get a hold of us, so just get a hold of us that way.
Mostly through hugs.
Also, vghotdog at Twitter. I mean, at vghotdog on Twitter.
Yeah, that's confusing.
Also, we have that phone number. I'm not going to get another phone number for this, but we need to come up with some other acronym than Mad KOL Taint. But you can call us at Mad KOL Taint and leave a message.
And we will probably never check it.
Sure we will.
Okay.
We're turning over a new leaf.
All
we're right. we're bringing a new energy, and we are
that's right.
We're making history here, fellas.
The hot dog family of podcasts is a modern revolution.
Ever expanding.
Computer entertainment.
We're not just filled with pork.
We
plump up when you cook us.
We did have one question that was appropriate.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what it was or where I put it or wrote it down or anything.
Sweet.
So, yeah. Good segment, guys.
Nice.
Thanks a lot. Hey, now it's time for the totally unrelated bullshit segment.
That's
had a dream.
My favorite segment.
I had a dream that I was eating a hard-boiled egg.
Was and this recently?
I bit the top off the hard-boiled egg. Yeah, this was like 2 days ago.
Okay.
I bit the top off the hard-boiled egg into the yolk, and I was like, this yolk is weird. And I dug out the rest of it, and it turned out that it was these two really long, they were like the size of candy bars, and they were like intersected in the middle like a crucifix. And I was like, how did that even fit inside the egg? And then there was the rest of the dream involved a porch, and I don't remember anything else. Hey, what have you done that's totally unrelated to video games or anything that makes any goddamn sense, Riff?
I had a dream last night that I was in the forest, and Sam Raimi was there making another Evil Dead remake, and he gave me a contract to fill out, and it didn't make any sense.
What was the contract for?
I guess it was for, like, because I was there while they were filming, there was a chance I would show up in the footage.
It was your forest.
Yeah.
You needed your permission to film there.
Also, there were some people nearby that had a couch that they were throwing into the river with people on it. I guess it was like a fun extreme sport thing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So, like, some people would swing out onto the river on a string. You know, like one of those old strings you find tied to a tree. Yeah.
You know what's awesome? Hmm. Hearing people on a podcast talk about their dreams.
What about yours, Kevin? You had any?
I haven't had any interesting dreams at all lately. I climbed a grapefruit tree.
That was for real, though.
Yeah, that was the real life. And then I pulled some grapefruits off of it, and then I ate a bunch of them.
Cool. Good segment, guys.
Thanks.
Hey, now for some things that are like video games, but not really. I went and saw Sucker Punch today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was okay.
I hear that video games are bigger than movies now.
I don't know, man. This movie was bigger than a video game.
I heard that Sucker Punch sucked.
A lot of people say that it sucked, but I thought it was pretty punchy.
You're a sucker.
Sucker.
Yeah.
You also really liked that Avatar movie, which nobody else liked.
I don't think that... I would not say that I really liked Avatar The Last Airbender.
Airbender, yeah. Because, like, Avatar was, like, one of the biggest movies.
Everybody liked Avatar.
All right.
The tune of $2 billion.
The other Avatar movie. Yeah, the one that nobody liked.
Dollars. This was awesome. So I described, as we left the theater, I described this movie as equal parts creepy, stupid, and awesome. There was a little bit of bad writing and a little bit of bad acting.
But, I mean, don't you think... something people who don't like creepy or stupid movies, that's 2/3 of the movie.
Well, it wasn't deliberately stupid. I don't know. Yeah, I guess you're right. Maybe that's why people any criticism that the movie is like sexually exploitative of young girls and like the whole schoolgirl fetish, I don't think has watched it or watched it with the idea that they were going to be outraged by this shit, because this is not a movie that makes you feel good about enjoying looking at girls in short skirts. It's got these weird video game moments. I feel like what they did was they took a whiteboard and they just said, all right, name things that are awesome. And then they took everything on the whiteboard and put it into a movie.
Were hot dogs in the movie?
There's like, so this girl with
hot dogs are awesome.
Katana and a gun. There weren't any hot dogs, actually. Yeah, there were some potatoes.
Okay, I think the people in the room...
Potatoes are pretty good.
Yes.
Potatoes are good, but I wouldn't call them awesome.
There was a man frying some noodles.
Were they? Was there a potato cannon? Because potato cannons are awesome.
So, no, there was
I am questioning the people who were there at this whiteboard meeting, because I don't think they were the right people.
Well, here, let me give you the list of awesome things.
Okay.
So,
katana.
Girl with a katana and a pistol.
At the same time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fighting these big samurai ogres, one of which had like a giant, giant sword that was like twice as long as he was tall.
Okay.
One of which had a rocket launcher and a chain gun.
Okay.
And the other of which I don't remember what he had. Maybe just two katanas.
He was dual wielding a rocket launcher and a chain gun?
Well, no, he fired a rocket launcher and then he was out of rocket. And so he pulled out the chain gun.
Okay. Because that was
so he used a chain
massive.
Gun to destroy this ancient imaginary Japanese temple.
Okay.
So that was pretty awesome.
It does sound pretty awesome.
Yeah. Okay, so then in the next video game style segment. So it's basically about this girl who goes into an asylum, and then to deal with the hardship of being in the asylum, she imagines that she's actually working in like a bordello.
Okay.
And then to deal with the insanity of working in the bordello, she imagines that she's on this crazy video game quest to escape the bordello, which is actually escaping the asylum.
I see.
Right. So it's like this, it operates on
multiple
three
levels.
Sort of distinct levels of reality.
It's like Inception.
Which was done pretty well and was pretty interesting.
Okay.
And the third level is just very, very video gamey. She has to get the map. She has to get the key. She has to get some crystals with which she can make fire, which in the bordello level is the mayor's Zippo. So then next segment, fights a dragon in like a World War II fighter plane.
Okay.
And some ogres, orcs and
that's kind
goblins
of
kind of guys.
So like...
they fire some goblins out of a catapult, and they land on the plane and start punching through the windows.
So video games are like invading movies, right? Like Scott Pilgrim was, I mean, that was very heavily video game written in the comic, but like...
two notable failures.
Yeah.
Although I don't know if Sucker Punch is actually a financial failure.
So can you think of a movie before Run the La Run that did anything like this? Because I'm wondering what the, like, where was the first crossover that was like a big movie, not like
it kind of happened when Comic-Con started getting to be a big deal, right?
You think?
Like, they're probably both symptoms of the same kind of cultural shift.
Games have taken stuff from movies for forever.
Yeah, so many wonderful video game adaptations of movies.
Yeah, like Alien versus Predator versus Your Mom.
There was Crank, that was very video game, but that was well after Run Lola Run.
Yeah, and what, because Run Lola Run was like 99-ish,
and that was only video, like that was not really explicitly. I mean, it the only thing that was video gamey about that was the whole notion of her having three lives.
Well, in the like animated segment, that was kind of like her
not really
the opening credits. Yeah.
I mean. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't explicitly video game, but I would say it was implicitly video game.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. But that was all artsy.
And this beginning was a summer talked blockbuster. About the beginning talked about games.
This was a springtime blockbuster
too.
I don't know. I just remember that in the beginning it said "Liebst du mich, Mani?"
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she's asking Mani if he loves her. Of course he does. Of course he does. How can he not love Franca Potenta? Or Frank.
Made out of polenta.
That's where I was going. So yeah, so then they fight some steampunk World War One Germans.
Okay.
Were they World War One or World War Two?
World War One.
Huh, because I've seen a picture and the dude had a swastika on his head.
I don't remember seeing any swastikas. There were a lot of zeppelins exploding when biplanes flew into them. They were definitely in trenches. I feel like it was definitely like World War One visual motif. If they were, if they were Nazis, then they were anachronistic Nazis.
Okay.
Which really, nothing worse than a Nazi except an anachronistic Nazi.
Yeah, I mean, if they're fighting dragons, I don't know if there's any.
Well, the dragons were actually later. And then, so then there's a segment where
so it is anachronistic.
They rob a train.
Okay.
Yeah, they have to rob a train, and guarding the train, bunch of robots with guns.
Okay.
They kill them. The train is on a track. This was my favorite part of the entire movie. This train track, which just runs for miles in both directions across this bleak, sort of dystopian wasteland, is supported by rockets. Which seems like the least efficient possible way
the
of cutting.
The track is
on rockets.
Is like fire. Yeah. Rockets firing rockets upwards firing to hold.
Downwards.
The track is...
When a rocket is launching, would you say it's firing upward or downward? I would say the rocket's firing downward, propelling the payload upward.
Okay, sure. Okay, so the fire is going down. There is a force going up.
Yes.
And it is a rocket
sometimes,
force.
Sometimes, like... What appears to be like 20 or 30 feet off the
ground.
Were
there any donkeys?
A telephone pole would have been better than these rockets.
Were there any donkeys in this movie?
They were towing the train along. That's how they were powered.
Donkeys?
Yes.
Okay, so I
donkeys running alongside the train track, like in the Suez Canal.
I think maybe they just wanted all the different kinds of punch in this movie.
Yeah. So there was rocket punch.
Was there a 1-2 punch?
No. Yeah. No, there was not. There were sucker punches. There was a girl with a sucker. There was a girl with a lollipop.
There you go.
But it wasn't like a big Lolita lollipop. A lolicon. Test. She won the lolly contest, but she was the only one playing. There's a fat chef. That's cool. That's awesome. Like fat chef with a knife. All chefs have a knife.
Did he have a big handlebar mustache?
No, he didn't. There was a man with a kind of a thin sleazeball mustache.
Did he make things out of curling irons or ironing irons?
No.
Okay.
I don't know where you're going with that.
Iron chef.
Oh, I see.
Oh.
Yeah. Today's secret ingredient is a curling iron and a bathtub. I'm making bathtub gin, and the secret ingredient is a curling iron.
Bathtubs.
Good night, everybody. No more Minecraft for me. All right, so one of the things we're going to do here on Video Games Hot Dog is we're going to give ourselves an assignment every week to play probably usually an older game, but a game that's different in some way than the stuff that we would normally do. This week's assignment was...
Marionettes.
Yeah.
No.
We were going to play a trading marionette game where you buy an opaque box and it has a marionette in it. Sometimes it's Belgian royalty. Sometimes it's a Gundam.
Gundam marionette? That'd be pretty cool. The fist could be on a separate string so you could do rocket punch.
You guys,
puppet kata.
I have a confession to make. I only know that Gundam is a word. I don't actually know what it means.
It's a giant Japanese robots like in Robotech.
Yeah, oh, okay. That's what I would have guessed.
So it's like a mecha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So like it's a Medina.
What? You'll go on a pilgrimage to Gundam.
No. So that was not the game that we
with a Sherpa
we played this week though.
And a Gungadin.
It sounds like a fun game though.
Gundam
Din on his giant robot elephant.
At Riff's suggestion, our very first assignment was to play XCOM.
Kevin, I heard a rumor that you've done some research.
Well, because I
got some facts about XCOM I had that you'd never, like to share with the listeners.
I had never heard of XCOM before, so I missed it entirely when it was a game that was like released and out. It came out like right when I went into college, and I basically stopped playing video games for a couple of years when
you
I was in college.
Bitch.
I know. I abandoned them. But yeah, so it came out in 94. It was made by the same guy that made Ghost Recon. I don't know if you knew that.
I
don't know if that's where that sort of inspiration came from.
I don't think I was... No, that's not where the suggestion came from. I wasn't aware of that fact at the time, but I had since heard about that.
So
I was like, oh, this time he made a good game.
So it's a it's a DOS game. You can play it on a modern computer with a DOSBox.
You can buy it on Steam, actually. Yeah. There's a pack that is all five of the games in the XCOM series, three of which are the same sort of tactical...
Yeah, the first three.
They are very much games in the old-school microprose tradition of games that are just a simulation of an extremely complex system with a lot of elements interacting with
microprose had released Civilization, and like the initial, I guess from what Wikipedia says, the initial draft of this game, which was called UFO Enemy Unknown. It was only later released as XCOM.
It was still called UFO Enemy Unknown in Europe, I think.
Oh, right.
I think they changed the name.
Or maybe
American
the other way around or something. Yeah.
Because Americans, they realized too late, don't speak English.
Right. And so when Julian Gollop or whatever signed Microprose on as the publisher, they wanted the game to be grander in scale because they had just released Civilization. I feel like that's what they thought they were like.
So they added a lot of extra complicated
things. They made it super complicated.
A bunch of kind of, in my opinion, cumbersome bullshit.
Yeah.
It is an extremely highly regarded game, so it is worth spending some time digging into it to see, we felt, why people like it.
It was interesting, never having played it, like... going back 15 or 16 years in, or 17, I guess at this point, in like video game history, and like picking up a game that was at its time like super highly regarded, and, you know, sold really well, and people really liked and stuff.
I wonder how a game that sold really well in 1994 actually compares in units shipped and sold than a game now.
600,000 units sold.
600,000. I wonder if that still seems pretty good.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I don't have a sense of like.
I mean, I think that sold more units than that E.T. game for the Atari.
I mean, I know in reading the Ultimate History of Video Games, them talking about like a million units for like a Nintendo game was pretty good.
Okay.
Right.
So for a PC game, that's probably pretty good.
I think isn't like a million units what they typically use for like to make a PS2 game into their greatest hits line or something like that?
Oh, I don't know. I know a million units is what they use to make the world's longest bukkake film.
Thanks.
I mean, a million cc's. That's the unit we're talking about.
A million Unix would be a really large set of guards for a harem.
Yeah, and a million Unix would provide a really boring bukkake. It was so dry. Anyway,
I was going to make an operating system joke, but I think I don't have to.
So yeah, I played on beginner difficulty.
Yeah,
was
me
confused
too.
As shit, and like
one-shotted
like, okay,
every time.
So I shot down a UFO. I figured out how to shoot down a UFO, and then I went to investigate the landing site, and then like 9 out of my 14 guys died, and I'm like, all right, I'm starting over. And then the same thing happened again, more or less.
Yeah, I enjoyed the tactical stuff, although I wish that the difficulty curve was not so vertical, but. I couldn't get behind all the extra cumbersome simulation bits that really served no purpose except to make things more cumbersome and simulation-y.
Was it that, or was it just the interface towards those things, you know?
Well, that didn't help. But it was things like, you've got your troop transport that you're going to send your soldiers out to the thing on, and instead of just equipping your soldiers before they leave... you move a bunch of gear onto the troop transport and then move the gear from the troop transport to the soldiers. Why?
Well, but you're carrying more stuff. You're taking more stuff with you than they can carry. I think a lot of these things actually come into play tactically later when you are moving guys from one UFO site to another without actually going back to base and re-equipping.
Okay, that
right?
makes
like,
sense.
I think they're as
I
the
think
game,
the ship moves faster if you have less stuff on it and stuff.
Oh, really?
It's
just too much.
It is really too much. It's amazing.
Like, I was super overwhelmed starting the game. Like, I just, like, so many options, there's so many different things to click on with, like, menus and sub-menus and sub-sub-menus and stuff like that. But
every screen seems to have a different idea of what the button should look like and what,
icons on them or only make any sense retroactively. If I had my druthers, I would boil the game down to just, you've got your tactical mode, you kill a bunch of aliens, and then you recover a bunch of random alien, or well, not random, but whatever the aliens had on them and the nature of the spaceship. Recover these artifacts, you give them to your scientists to do their research projects, and they research tech, which you can use then by your soldiers, or they come up with things that are useful as consumer products that you sell to get more budget. And that's really all I need out of that.
But the primary way that you get more budget in this is by defending countries from UFO attacks, because every month you come up with an evaluation from all of the countries
like
that are supporting the program.
A dozen and a half different countries that make up the total of your budget.
And like
baffling.
When you have only one base, you have no idea what the fuck is going on in most of the world, and so there are places that get attacked by UFOs, and if
you don't know about it,
then the country's like, you didn't protect us, you jerks.
Yeah, there's a whole base building section. There's a whole, like, not really diplomacy section, but you have to, like, be, like, vigilant about taking care of a bunch of, like, different countries and stuff like that. And then there's the, like, totally different game, which is when you actually, like, shoot down an alien, or you go to an alien landing site and have the, like, your control of individual dudes that, like, are on this, like, operative mission. They're all different and kind of fun, and I started to feel like I was getting into it after playing a couple hours of it and restarting a couple times after all my guys got killed.
It was, I mean, I have to say the tactical bit was pretty exciting.
Yeah, the
second mission
really
I did
cool.
that I ended up with just the one guy left, and I think he only survived because he was the guy with the rocket launcher.
Huh. I mean, I think you're meant to think of the troops, the rookie troops especially, as really expendable, because they just, until you have gotten through one mission and researched the first sort of body armor, basically everybody gets one hit. Mm-hmm. I read the strategy guide. Like, I found it more interesting. I spent, I think, more time reading through this entire giant strategy guide document than I did actually playing the game, because it was more interesting to read about this stuff than it was to actually deal with the micromanagement of things. I like the direction that even that type of game has gone from, like, Civ 5, for instance. There is still a lot of really crazy subsystem shit going on in Civ 5, but it, by default, handles most of that stuff for you.
Right.
Right?
And only if you want to can you.
If you want to play on, like, the very, very highest levels of difficulty, which, as far as I'm concerned, fuck that. Like, that is not appealing or interesting to me in the slightest.
You don't like it when the game rubs sandpaper in your face while you're trying to play it?
You know, I think, go on record as saying I don't like games to be particularly challenging.
Huh.
I like getting an experience. I like getting a thing that has been laid out for me by a game designer that is interactive, that I can play around in, that I can mess with systems, that I can understand the systems, but, like, I don't want to just beat my head against something that requires me to have really fast reflexes. I don't want to beat my head against something that requires a lot of planning. What I especially don't want to do is have to repeat the same shit over and over again.
You know, that was the one thing in Lufia 2 that made me go, the new remake of it, that was like, oh, what? It's got this thing where when you die, you get the typical game over, and you go back to whatever your last fight was, but you get the choice of either going back to the beginning of that fight like you were, or going back to the beginning of that fight, and everybody gets 5 more levels.
What do you mean, everybody?
All the members, all your party members level up 5 times.
So it just lets you level them up arbitrarily?
Yeah, just arbitrarily. So I guess, like, instead of grinding, you can die and get 5 free levels.
Well, couldn't you just do that over and over again and get super high-level characters?
I guess you could.
I mean, I wonder if they make it so it's
I didn't
to
play
die.
Long enough to actually experience that. But
that's an interesting notion,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, that surprised me.
I mean, I guess that makes it so you can do the grindy book. Was it an Atlas game? Wasn't an Atlas game, was it?
It's a Square Enix game.
Okay, they made that, like, you know, the Etrian Odyssey. Like, they're doing a lot of, like, really, really old school grindy shit on newer systems, right? And it's like, man, I liked the idea of that game where you have to, like, do the mapping and stuff and, like, exploring the levels, but Jesus Christ, the hours and hours and hours that you have to spend killing the same monsters over and over again.
Yeah,
Like, if that was, like, some crazy fun minigame that you played to kill monsters, then sure. Right? Like, if there was an MMO framework wrapped around this dungeon raid game that we've been playing the shit out of, that's just kind of, you know, it's like marginally puzzle questy. It's a little more very interesting. Marginal. Than that. It's got a different set of resources to manage in different ways.
The sailing minigame in Etrian Odyssey 3 was really good.
Oh, I've never played the third one.
It was the sailing.
I thought they hadn't translated Etrians. I'm thinking of Etruscan. Never mind. Sorry. Go ahead.
But the sailing minigame, it's you're drawing your map out the same way you do the regular dungeon, but there's no monsters. Instead, it's like you get a very limited amount of spaces that you can move, and there's like the whirlpools and currents that, and mountains that you have to navigate to try and get to places. So it's more like a puzzle. You're trying to find the route that you have to take to get to your next checkpoint or whatever.
Huh. So there are a lot of saving and reloading. I feel like to successfully play XCOM, you got to do a whole lot of saving and reloading.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like.
Yeah. Because especially, well, like, if you've got your dude that has managed to survive three or four missions and has ranked up and is a great dude, and then he gets blasted, you're going to be pissed.
Yeah. It's weird that there is so much shit going on with the strategy guide that I read suggested that you rename your characters a list of their stats so that you know what.
That's what I plan on naming all my children, actually. Yeah, yeah. Is their stats.
Yeah, like 36, charisma.
24, 36.
You know, you could do that. Maybe that's
Charisma
maybe that's what,
16 Carpenter.
Maybe that's what Charisma Carpenter's parents did. Charisma 16 Carpenter.
Yeah.
She's got more than a 16 charisma.
You think?
Well, it depends. I guess she's kind of bitchy in season one.
Well, that's the thing. It depends on whether you consider D&D stats to be like the most beautiful and like, you know, sort of affable person ever is 18.
Mm-hmm. You don't think Charisma Carpenter is the most beautiful and affable person ever?
No.
Name one person affabler.
Nathan Fillion.
Okay. Wow. I guess we've learned a thing or two about Kevin on this very special episode of Video Games Hot Dog. I think that was enough for that assignment.
All right.
Next week, I was going to suggest Strange Adventures in Infinite Space, but I think that it might actually be more interesting to go a different direction.
Oh, yeah?
And by different, I mean the same direction. Go to an old early 90s microprose game, Master of Magic.
Oh,
because I think you guys, I've played a lot of it. I'm gonna pick it up again and get to thinking about it again.
Okay.
But I'm interested to see your guys' take on it, because it is one of my favorite video games of all time.
How do we get that game?
That I do not know. Okay. That one might actually be Abandonware at this point.
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay.
I know it runs in DOSBox. I've played it on modern hardware.
I'm sure we can find it, if not on Underdogs, then on Torrent somewhere.
Okay.
Because
I think it's important that when we come up with next week's assignment in these
that we
podcasts,
consider how available they are to
find. Well, we actually try to help people find it, because I think people want to play along.
Oh, that's true. That's true. We do want people to play along and, you know, email us about your experiences and...
Or tweet. Or call us.
So yeah, guys, play some Master of Magic.
We should set up a forum for this on Asymmetric forums so that listeners can discuss the assignments.
Do you think that's necessary?
I think that would be a good fun thing for the listening community.
All right. Well, we'll give it a shot, buddy. We've learned how to do all that stuff lately.
Kinda.
All right. So yeah, that was the assignment segment. Good segment, guys.
Woo!
Hey guys, I think this has been a pretty good inaugural episode of Video Games Hot Dog. What do you think?
Not bad.
Much better than that bullshit we tried the first time. You guys, Jesus Christ, you don't even want to know. It was awful.
I feel like it was interesting from a talking about video games standpoint, but it wasn't very funny.
Yeah, I feel like it was boring from a being boring standpoint.
It was dry like a eunuch in a Bukkake film.
Yeah. So, all right, we've been Video Games Hot Dog. Thanks a lot for listening.
Thanks, Woo-hoo. Guys.